Good morning, everyone. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we've gathered to worship on this summer day. We're glad that you're here, those who I can see and those who are watching us online as well. I also want to welcome today Kendra is going to be playing the flute and Evan's going to be singing. And so we have a couple musical talents helping us this morning as we worship. The back to school drive is here. This is the last day we're collecting. I want to thank anyone who has been able to donate for that, for the Newport schools and for Camp Washington UCC. So those will be delivered this week, so to their appropriate places. Looking ahead, Lunch Bunch is coming up, not this week, but the next week. There's an adult education opportunity. Details are there. There are sign-up sheets over here on the clipboards for those. Laura's looking for who can attend and I'm not whatever. Just information. So if you need to pick that up, if you're interested in what's going on, please do that. On the next page, you'll see there is a fairly good announcement and then a little thing on the side. There's pink sheets hanging on the bulletin board. On the last Sunday of this month, we are hosting the Northern Kentucky UCC churches to come. We're going to have a carry-in at 12:30 and then at 1:30. An informal dartball tournament. Some of you played in that. When we talked about it, I had to remind them that when I was at Emmanuel Church in Bromley in the 80s, that's when that started. And I think it continued through the pandemic. And once the pandemic came, it was done. So we're trying to reinstitute that. So if you're interested, and there is a sign-up sheet up here, A, if you're going to attend, and B, if you're going to bring some, or you'd like to participate in the tournament. So Rachel, who's a pastor at St. Mark's in Latonia, is sort of coordinating all this, so we need to get that information for her. And then this last little announcement is going on, that starting a month from today, the first Sunday in September, we're going to be providing a Sunday school program for our children on Communion Sunday. So if you have some young children that day, there will be some teaching, and the details are there, and people on the leadership team can explain more to you about that if you're interested. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's Spirit to move among us as we prepare to worship God this day. Thank you.
Good morning. Please stand if you're able and join with me in our call to worship, which is based on Psalm 17. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to our cries. Give ear to prayers from lips of deceit. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied, beholding your likeness. Let us worship our God. Please join me in the prayer of adoration and confession. Holy One, we come to you hungry, wanting to be fed from your Spirit, from your Word, from your community. We come thirsty and tired from our journeys. We come with empty pockets, with nothing to buy what we truly seek. We come expecting miracles. We come expecting to leave with a full heart and mind. We come with praise in our hearts. We come with our gifts, whether large or small. We come with our faith, whether weak or strong. Most importantly, God, we have come. We have come to this place to worship you and grow in love and community. We seek your blessing. Fill us, we pray, O God. We call upon you. We ask that you hear our words. We cry to your words of anguish, words of despair, words of hopelessness and helplessness. We have failed you, God, in so many ways. The weight of the world is upon us, and we feel as though we are being crushed. But just as you have forgiven Jacob and given him a new name, you are faithful to us as well. Renew us this day. Forgive us for how we have failed you and others. Thank you for calling us your beloved, forgiven children. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hear the good news. The good news in Christ is that God offers us life at every moment, forgiving us and inviting us to the freshness of new beginnings. Let us praise this God of grace. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today comes from the letters of Paul in the New Testament, Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own brothers and sisters, my own flesh and blood. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs. And from them, according to the flesh, comes to Christ, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen.
The perfect wisdom of our God revealed in all the universe, all things created by his hand and held together at his command. He knows the mysteries of the seas, the secrets of the stars are his. He guides the planets on their way and turns the earth through another day. The matchless wisdom of his ways that mark the path of righteousness. His word a lamp unto my feet, his spirit teaching and guiding me. And oh, the mystery of the cross, that God should suffer for the lost, so that the fool might shame the wise, and all the glory might go to Christ. Oh, grant me wisdom from above to pray for peace and cling to love, and teach me humbly to receive the sun and rain of your sovereignty. Each strand of sorrow has perfect will, in your perfect way.
As we continue our scripture readings this morning, we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew as we continue our readings in that Gospel. And this is Matthew 14, 13 to 21. The rubric in the New Revised Standard updated version calls it the feeding of the 5,000. And it's the first phrase Jesus talks about when Jesus heard this. So the previous chapters when Jesus receives word about his cousin John the Baptist had been killed. So this is following right after that. So now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." And Jesus says to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he, Jesus, says, "Bring them here to me." And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I first read this text to think about for today, I started to think about food and how that is a catalyst for our memories. I was thinking sometimes when we were all together, when my family would sit down, we were always waiting for someone, my brother or sister or I, to wash our hands. And when I think about sitting around the table, and my one vivid memory is as a child, young child, because my brother's 7 years younger than I am, so he was probably somewhere between 8 and 12. My dad asked him to pass the bread, and so my brother picked up the loaf of Wonder Bread and threw it like a pass. I also remember what my dad did after that. But I think there are those times or occasions when we gather to eat the more formal, Thanksgiving, Christmas, maybe get together for birthdays, however we all do that as families, and you're gathered about a table somewhere. Maybe it's your grandmother's or your aunts and uncles, or maybe it's your house, but everybody's sitting around. And with great fondness, I remember my grandparents on Seibold's side. And we didn't see them very often. He was a pastor as well. And so, but he had retired by the time I was in high school. I learned to drive in their retirement village, so he had been retired most of my life. But whenever we would sit there, he would tell us the same stories every time we get together about something that had happened in the family. They were fascinating when we were kids because my grandfather had a way of telling a story. But it kept us together as a family. Those are the stories we still tell, you know, about those people. And especially including those people who have died long ago. We continue those stories. I think the Bible, in a lot of ways, is the stories of the household of faith and how we remember what goes on. So weekly or monthly, depending on your denomination, we gather about the table. It also was so fortuitous that this scripture in the lectionary fell on a communion Sunday to make this more relevant. But we gather, and what you do is we remember the stories of the faith as we gather about the table. We remember with gladness why we're part of the family, why we're part of the body of Christ, why we participate in this ritual. We read scripture every week. Sometimes those stories are used as when I preach. Sometimes I've included them in the liturgy, the calls to worship, the prayers of confession. Sometimes those are scriptures because I just don't want to read all that. So I include them. You still get to hear it, even though we don't announce it as such. This story, as I said, is the feeding of the 5,000. It's also known as the loaves and the fishes. And it was vital to the early church because it is the only miracle story that occurs in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Only one that occurred. There are other miracle stories that are disjointed maybe in two or three, but not all four. This one does. So we hear that when Jesus hears about John the Baptist, he withdraws in a boat to a deserted place by himself. He's trying to find that refuge. But he's popular, the people follow him, a crowd draws. He's no time to sit and grieve about this loss. And Jesus says, the crowd in Matthew says, he had compassion for them and healed their sick. And at nightfall, you know, the disciples tell Jesus, you need to tell these people to go home. And their alleged concern was for the hunger of these followers. And Jesus tells them, well, give them something to eat. And they say, well, we've only got, you know, two fish and five loaves, and they seem flustered that Jesus is telling them to feed this throng with just, it would be hard to feed this crowd that's gathered here with that. So at some point he tells them to bring the loaves and the fishes to him and tells them to sit the crowd down in the grass. He blesses the loaves and the fish as he looks to heaven. And I wondered when I think about that is, do we think about that every time we give thanks over our food, that we may be enacting this, that we're doing grace over the food we're about to partake. So after he breaks the loaves, they're distributed to the crowd. The disciples, I'm sure, are skeptic. It doesn't say that in the text, but I don't know about you, but I would be if I'm looking at this meager amount of food and I'm looking at all those people and come back, and they ate up, they were all filled, and 12 baskets full were left over. And the patriarchal count of the day was 5,000 men, and then they felt that they should add, and women and children. So it was over 5,000. When we gather about the table of the Lord, we hear the story of our faith. And so this is our memory to remember this story. I'm wondering if those hearers who were there that day, who knew what we now know as the Old Testament, if they remembered the story of Elisha, who's the prophet that followed Elijah, and how he fed 100 men. In the book of 2 Kings, you can find it. And he fed them. And it says that they brought first fruits to him, to Elisha. And he told the servant to give it to the people and let them eat. And the servant, very similar to the disciples in this story, says, how can I set this before 100 people? Elisha persisted in saying, you're my servant, you do what I command you. And he says, well, there's going to be some left over, by the way. And there was. Were those people sitting on the grass, remembering that story, when they realized what was happening to them on that day? One of the great miracles I feel of God is that God can gather us together, alike and as different as we may be. And we get to dine together in the name of Jesus. And so when Jesus presided over the Passover with his disciples, he says to them, do this in remembrance of me. So about a generation after the death of Jesus and resurrection, Paul writes in the book of 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read it strictly from scripture, but it's going to be almost the same words I intone at the table. For I received from the Lord, but I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So when we gather about the table and the loaf is broken, we remember. We remember God that fed the Israelites with manna in the wilderness. We remember, you're going to remember today, Elisha fed 100 people with 20 loaves of barley and some grain. The story is Elisha also provided oil for a widow and her neighbors from nothing. All of a sudden, the jar was full. You might remember your first communion. You might remember a more intimate communion. Maybe a time when you're on retreat or together, it's just a group and you stand like a circle around the altar and you pass to each other. Or maybe Monday, Thursday, Ash Wednesday, Christmas Eve, Easter sunrise service when it's more intimate than a big crowd. There are things we remember as we partake. And maybe we even remember how God becomes present as we partake. That's sort of what that's all about. I remember the Emmaus story. I usually start that out with in the liturgy I use. But Jesus was made known to those two disciples in the breaking of the bread. That's the phraseology that's always there. So whenever we gather to eat, we remember. And we remember what God has done. I share a lot about how memory is important. If you've heard me preach at a funeral, I tend to do that we remember our loved ones. That's how we keep them alive. And that's sort of how I've had a job for 40 plus years, because I keep telling the story of Jesus, and I think there's truth in that. But having worked in nursing and retirement homes before I went into ministry, and then visiting them a lot, and then having to deal with my wife and her decline with dementia and Alzheimer's, there is something about how important memory is. There's different levels of care in a facility. There's independent, then there's assisted, and then there's nursing, and then there's memory care. And as that the care increases, the memory diminishes. And I remember when I went to visit a lady one day in Riverview Community where I used to work, and the son met me at the door, or at the elevator actually, and he says, Marty, Dad's not remembering anybody. I said, okay. We went down the hall. Now the communion set I use is, I inherited from my dad and I've received another one since, but they were World War II chaplain sets, so they come in this little box. It has a silver tray or paten that I put wafers on. It's easier for me to carry and distribute little hosts. Then there's another tray that's silver. It has holes in it for little 6 cups. And the tradition is you take a handkerchief, we call it a napkin, you lay a white napkin down, you put the trays on there, and then I set it up. And usually when I'm in that, doing that, I'm being watched. And you can see a change in that person. Then I intone those words and I do a prayer. When I pick that tray up, or sometimes I take the host and hand it to them, if they've been brought up in Episcopal or Roman Catholic faith, they assume what I call the position to receive. And when I begin to pray the Lord's Prayer, they pray it with me. You can't tell me that memory doesn't work. And when I saw that happen with my wife, it was just as powerful. Couldn't remember my name. Couldn't remember her children's names. But if we did communion, she knew what to do. I think faith is important. And it's a memory that we don't lose. So when we gather about the table today, I want you to continue to remember what is important about this. and what is important about this gathering, and what is important about our relationships with one another. Jesus feeds us, each of us in our need. What do you remember? Amen. I'm going to ask those who are able to please stand as we join together in singing our hymn number 665, Break Now the Bread of Life. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this day, are there joys and or concerns to be brought forth to this community of faith this morning? In the bulletin, we have our prayer list and homebound of the week. Please note those. Birthdays and anniversaries are listed there. Our two sister UCC churches are Grace UCC in Fort Wright, where Mark Roeder is pastor, and St. Paul UCC Alexandria, where Paul Forey is pastor. There is world and national situations we need to pray for. There's always those things that lay upon our hearts, individual situations, whether it's physical, mental, some kind of decision process, but something that we do that we don't normally share. Two families we need to be praying for. One is a member here is Joan Shengshang. She passed away the other day. I'm going to be doing a private ceremony just for the family this week. It's at Dobling's funeral home. I talked to Pat Dobling yesterday. There will be an obit, and it will say it's private, but it'll have some details if you're interested for that. Also, we need to be praying for the Fondersmith family. Robert Lee Fondersmith was John Robson's brother-in-law, married to his sister Mary. He passed away. John's going to be presiding at that service up in Lebanon on Tuesday. So I would ask, you know, keep those families in your prayer. Karen Kiefer raised up again. Ryan, a follow-up. That we were praying for his son. He had the biopsies done. Cancer was caught early in the colon, so some surgery to remove a piece and reconnect is in the future, whatever happens. So she's just asking prayers as he goes through this process to get there as well. Continue to remember we are in the season of Pentecost, and we celebrated that the Spirit was here and came upon the disciples on that day and continues to move among us as we gather in this place. So we also pray for that Spirit to continue to be part of who we are as people of God. So as we prepare to go to prayer, I'm going to ask us to settle down. I'm going to go through our ritual. I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and then let it out. And then breathe in, God. And breathe out. Breathe in, God. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Oh God, we ask as we gather together this day in prayer that we can learn to live with wisdom and with peace and with joy. Sometimes life feels to threaten us and we're overwhelmed. Our faith is overwhelmed, our very being is overwhelmed, and we seem to never see the end. We look at the news or we hear the news and we wonder what in the world is happening. As a nation, as a community, as a world, as people who live among us, we struggle to be family. So we pray your presence continue to be with us in our minds and our hearts, and continue to work in small community, those ripples that go out of what it is to be kind to one another. We ask for strength, O God, as we journey through life every day, for the many things that come upon us. And may the one thing we do, however small it be, will make a difference, maybe not to the world, but to that person, and that we may touch them with the Spirit that we feel here this day. Strengthen us, O God, that sometimes we think that we aren't enough. So allow us to see things beyond our ability. Because we don't have to do everything alone. We are able to do it with others. And empower us to accept what is. And see how you work with us in that moment. Because we entrust our time and our energy and our faith in you. So as we gather in prayer this day, we pray for those who are grieving and are mourning, those who may be recovering and involved with therapy of some kind, for those who live in retirement or facilities. We pray for those who share your message with others. We pray for those who just need to make decision and struggle for what is the right thing to do for them in the moment. So in this time we have together to pray this day, and the time we were going to have as we meditate during the serving of communion, May we dwell upon your presence. May we feel the Spirit. May we know that we are blessed. But most of all, God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus the Christ. And so this prayer is offered in his name, with a prayer that he has taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus invites us to put the claims of God's realm before all else in our lives, to sacrifice all we have in order to obtain it. God's rule is not only a future promise, it is a present reality, waiting to be accepted by individuals and shared in community. Our offerings and the work we do together are meant to announce and demonstrate the realm of heaven. The ushers may now come forward.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid have lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me by your side. I will love you to the end. Yes, to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Beautiful word, wonderful word, wonderful word of life. a light unto my
Please notice this prayer of dedication is not only for the offerings that you have given today, but also for all the gifts that you have brought to share with the schools, whether here or in Ohio, and that you'll notice that reflects itself in the words. So together, let us pray. Thank you, God, for the opportunities to share in your creative and restorative work among people. Because you have blessed us, we have much to give. We offer along with our monies these gathered school supplies to be blessed this day. It is our hope that the children use them in continuing in their education and in sending that there are those supporting them in that endeavor. These offerings express our gratitude and our aspiration to be more fully your own loyal community. We give them all in the name of Jesus Christ, your greatest blessing. Amen. As we prepare to come before the table, let us affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was crucified by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of his Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul reminds us that when Jesus sat at the table with two of the disciples, he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Men and women, Youth and children gather from the east, the west, the north, and the south to gather about the table of the Lord. This table is for all who wish to receive the presence of Christ and to share in the community of God's people. Let us pray. We celebrate the divine spirit who hovered over creation and brought order out of formlessness. We praise you, Spirit, and we celebrate the divine spirit who filled Jesus with power and wisdom and through him made divine life available to all. We praise you, Spirit, and we celebrate this Spirit who's been poured out on all people and leads us into the kingdom of God. We praise you, Spirit, and so as we gather at this table, we recognize the Spirit's presence among us, and we open our hearts to Spirit's influence. Oh God, we come knowing that we depend on you for life and truth and love. We come knowing that you welcome us with open and accepting arms, and we come ready to meet you and be changed by that encounter. The Lord Jesus, when he met with the disciples in that upper room, took the bread. And after he had given thanks to you, he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, also after supper, he took the cup. And after he had given thanks to God, he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you and many for the remission of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Almighty God, as we share this bread and cup, let it be a sharing in Christ's body and blood, Christ's life and presence, and may we embody your life, love, and presence in our homes and in our community. In remembrance of all your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we ask you to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we offer in union with Christ's sacrifice for us as a living and holy surrender of ourselves. Send the power of your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, we may know the presence of the living Christ, be renewed as his body, and grow into his likeness. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, all things are now ready.
Thank you.
This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat. This cup is a New Testament given to us by Jesus Christ that we might have forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. So my friends, take and drink. I would invite those who are able to please stand as we join together in our prayer of thanksgiving and stay standing for our closing hymn. Together we pray. Most gracious God, we praise you for you have given and for what you have promised us here. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you and ask that your daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom and that our love may be your love reaching out into the life of the world. Amen. couple things before I forget. There are items to be picked up if you're part of the adult education, sign-up sheets for that last Sunday in August when we're doing the carry-in and dartball tournament if you're going to be either attending and or participating. Lastly, this church has been cleaning some things out, and we found some, what were they, records? We found, they mostly look like 33 and a third and some bigger ones. They are radio shows from the early 50s. So Robert has got some of them digitized. There are five discs over here if you're interested, for those of you who remember him. So I'm not going to do the blessing today. You're going to hear Reverend Barkow do the blessing. From 1952, I was 2 years old, okay? But if you're interested in the history, they're there for you. There's four different ones, I think, maybe five. There's a couple, but you'll see the titles are on there for you. We've been asked today to think about who we are and what we remember, especially when we gather at the table. The memories are what we have. Having been a caretaker, and for those of you who've been on that journey, you know what that's like. It's the memories are important. It doesn't matter the physical being. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what happens. It's about what we remember. You remember how God blessed you. Share that with others. That's what's important. Let us go in peace. Amen.
And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Father, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.